Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. I'm Cheryl Catherine Smith.
I'm Ash Riot.
And we are excited to be here yet for another Sunday. Today is April 10th, and our topic is, what is it, Ash?
Music and metaphysics.
Metaphysics. Don't you love the way she said that?
Do you? I love it.
It sounds a little kind of metaphysical.
No, it sounds like I'm on The Price is Right. I love The Price is Right. Come on down to the Music and Metaphysics Show, win a car.
Welcome to our listeners. We're excited to have you join with us in this conversation that Ash and I are going to have, and we welcome you to call in and share your experience with music and metaphysics. Maybe even just music, or maybe just metaphysics. But the reason why we wanted to talk about the two together is because it's very much a part of our experience as artists, isn't it?
Very much so. I mean, even, you know, to write a song, like, I really like what Tori Amos said best when she said, you know, to take credit for my songs is like a painter taking credit for a sunset. And it's the same way, like metaphysics and you know, especially the muses we connect to and everything like that. It's all it's all beautiful. And you know, even connecting through cards, connecting through any form of metaphysics is quite important to music because it's an art form. It's a depth. And, you know, that metaphysics in a whole is a depth. So we want to talk about it.
Yeah, and I want to start off just, again, I'm always about being clear and having ideas presented in a really clear way so we can all kind of follow the same thread together and take the same journey for the next hour. I was doing, as I usually do, I like to do some research before the show. I like to share my own personal experience, but I also like to share others' experiences because I think there's a lot of wisdom. But, you know, as you probably already know, any of us who go onto Google or start searching, we have to weed through and find the things that are relevant and the things that aren't. But one thing that I found that I really liked, somebody described metaphysics in this way. They said, within the universe, there are three natural languages which perfectly describe the supreme science. And these three things are music, color, and numbers. So I think metaphysics embraces all three, and I was happy to see music in there because we've always spoken as a band about the power of music and how it can actually transcend things. We don't even quite understand how music can transcend, but we know that it does. Take, for example, how you feel when you hear a great piece of music, how it can actually affect your body. It can make you have chills. It can help the hair on your arms or the back of your neck to stand up. And so what is that? That's a physical reaction to something, that to a sound. And there's beauty in music in the harmony. I think there's a lot of power, metaphysical, mystical power in harmony. I mean, think about, it's not just in music, though. There's music in nature, right? You know, you sit and you listen to a songbird, and the songbird and the wind and the waves lapping at a beach all together are like a symphony. It's quite extraordinary, right?
It is, and it catches you in that moment that makes it so magical. I mean, even when we were walking the other morning on the beach, you know, we walk across that bridge and all of a sudden the birds are just chirping and it seems just like this beautiful little portal or something. It's amazing. It catches you in that moment and it's a physical reaction. It makes you stop and it makes you just own that moment. It's beautiful.
It transcends, right? I mean, all of these experiences are transcendent. And I think this is where we try to understand metaphysics is it's an experience of transcendence that we can't necessarily explain. And I like there's a Lord Bowen did this. He made this quote and I love this. A metaphysician is a blind man in a dark room looking for a black hat which isn't there.
Wow, that's
can you imagine?
Cool.
See, that's how transcendent it is, because it's not like we can take our sense, like our eyes, and we can look at a tree and say, hey, there's a tree,
kiss
and
it.
It's green. Yeah, kiss it. That's what we like to do. We like to go and kiss it and hug and connect with trees, and those of you who know the band know that we really do that, and we really do encourage you to do that as well. But he also went on to say that it's almost a superhuman kind of experience. And he also equated superhuman with artist, being an artist. So how does that make you feel? I mean, to be to be equated with superhuman as an artist. Superhuman, transcendent, going beyond.
In a way, I've always felt like that, though. I mean, even in high school and stuff, when everybody was just so superficially lost in so many things, and I would just sit there on free block at school and write poetry, like, I felt so different, but in the difference, I didn't feel, like, weirdly different. I felt specially different, and I always had that feeling, like, I must be, like, superhuman or something, because I'm not, like, conforming to what they're doing. This is weird. So I get that. I get the superhuman thing. I own it. Like, seriously, I'm sure Cheryl would, too.
I do. I own it. But also, in owning it, recognizing that we're not alone.
Oh, definitely.
We're not alone. There's a lot of other superhumans out there. And you probably are a superhuman yourself. The actual definition of metaphysician or metaphysics is this: a philosophy, especially in its more abstruse branches. Now, abstruse means hard to understand, esoteric, secret, and hidden. So then when we talk about music and metaphysics, and we put together, what exactly do you feel is hidden or secret in music? Is there anything that we can describe? How can we equate the magic of music, what music does, even the magic of us creating music? I mean, there's definitely a mystical experience around being a writer, is there not?
It is, and what you said about being hidden, like, what's hidden in it? Like, honestly, the whole hidden vibe, I love it. Because it allows, like, I was going to say hiddenness, that's not a word. The hiding of something just gives that much more to explore. Like, I really like music that's not so on the line. I like music that is completely below or above the line, and I gotta work to get it. And not even so much working to get it, but just actually, like, digging through myself. Like, it's not just, oh, look at it, the sky is blue, I am here and I love you. It's, like, actual, when you feel the depth of it, and it's, I don't know, I really love the hidden stuff. I love it.
I think, you know, people who really know Ash and I, like, really know us, and we have a few people that really know us who are currently listening, and we invite you to call in when you feel comfortable to at 888-815-9756. That's toll-free in U.S. and Canada, 888-815-9756. Yeah, those of you who really know us know that we are very much involved in the mystical. Personally, both Ash and I are, it's no secret, but for people who really probably don't know us, maybe it's, we're uncovering something for you, but we haven't made any of this a secret. We're very much in tune with our intuition. We rely on our intuitive source and our intuitive abilities for many of our decision making. Even our creative process is very much connected to that sixth or seventh sense, whatever you want to call it. I like to call it the seventh. Mm-hmm. We were joking, actually, at one point, saying there's, what, at least, what, 24?
24. There's got to be. Like, come on, people. There's seriously got to be 36, even.
You think about the small percentage, the minute percentage of our brains that we're actually utilizing, and all of that space that we think we're not using. But what if we are? What if it was actually there and available for us and to us for exploration to go into the 6th, 7th, 24th sense world? And so this is where we really want to be. Again, we're about authenticity and being honest about who we are and where we're at, about our songs. And so we're talking about, we know that there is mystics who are listening right now. We know that you're out there and you're listening because you've told us you're going to be listening. We invite you to call in and share your own experience with mysticism and with being connected to the metaphysical world. In terms of music, we said on our blurb when we were describing what the show was and the content of the show, was we wanted to talk about other musicians who connect with the mystical world or who are very much open about their connection to that world. And I would like to first of all bring up, personally, I'm going to talk about Stevie Nicks, because I know that a lot of people, the first thing that people talk about with Stevie is from Fleetwood Mac, and also has her own solo career, is she a witch? And if even if you Google, is Stevie Nicks a witch, you're going to find a bunch of stuff come up, because I did that and I know. Whether or not she's a witch, to me, it doesn't really make a difference. Yet I think a lot of us are quite consumed with the old ways of thinking in terms of what is a witch, or even what does the occult mean? Because as you know, those of you who are familiar with our music and who we are as people living on this planet, I think that we're spiritual beings having a human experience, very much so. But you know that we are all about the love. It's about the love revolution. We actually just were postering on Commercial Drive here in Vancouver and also on Broadway a little bit. Kevin and Ash and I went out on Friday morning. We got up at 5 a.m. We wanted to beat everybody so that we wouldn't be in their way and whatnot, and did a great job postering. And what came to us in terms of presenting the poster was, "You've waited, it's here. Hologram." And we talked about our new single Spun Sun being available on iTunes, and but you know, it's interesting how that even came to us. That was very much intuitive what to say. So what have you waited for? Maybe you've waited for music that comes from that metaphysical place. Maybe you've waited for music from people who are really truly and genuinely about honesty, about justice, about truth, about love. It's not to say that we don't suffer from the darker parts of ourselves, where we go into anger or hurt or the darker places that each of us have as human beings and the experience of being human. But it's what we focus on and what we choose to focus on and the intention. So getting back to the Stevie Nicks is a witch thing, I want to talk about what the definition of a cult is. Now, we take a lot of religions. Religions have actually taken things like the word witch and taken the occult, and they've made it really dark, and they've made it really negative, when in fact they're not negative things. But like anything, it can be turned to the darkness, right? But what we're doing is we're talking about the lighter parts of it. And the occult's definition is that it's pertaining to magic, astrology, or any system claiming use or knowledge of secret or supernatural powers and agencies. Now, nowhere in that definition does it say dark forces. Nowhere. So I think one of the things that we have to do as a society is we have to unlearn old tags and old belief systems and what a lot of these religions have brought in terms of making things darker than they actually really are. And when we have metaphysics connected to music, metaphysics is kind of like the new term. It's the new age term, is it not? And perhaps darkness is being attributed to that in some way, because oftentimes we're most afraid of things that we don't understand. So if we don't understand the other realms, the other places that we ourselves individually are actually part of, even though we're not aware of it, if we don't understand, usually we're afraid. And when we're afraid, that's when the darkness seeps in.
Well, exactly. I mean, look at even the tattoo on my hand. I have a heartogram on my hand. And it's basically just a heart in the shape of a pentacle. And so many people all the time are like, "Do you have the sign of the devil on you? That's evil, isn't it?" And no, it's not. I mean, even, you know, a star with a circle, a pentacle, is a sign of the occult. And it is very powerful, but it's powerful in light. And so many people just automatically assume that, you know, because there is a negative symbol that looks similar to that, that must be as well. And the best, you know, keeping religion out of it, but, you know, sometimes the best thing I can say is, you know, when you turn a cross upside down, it's something bad. When it's up, it's the universal symbol of something, you know, that people put a lot of faith in. So it's really unlearning a lie. It's unlearning something that has, I guess, been passed down, or, you know, just so widely talked about as negative. And, you know, especially what we're doing, Hologram, we are, you know, we even were recording vocals yesterday and we changed one of the lyrics, and it's all about the love revolution, and that's what we're about. So you think about it, would a band like us be involved in a darkness? There's no place for darkness in love. So that's what we're really focused on, is just love. And, you know, the occult actually is an amazing, you know, aspect of life. And because, you know, so many people miss it because of their misrepresentation of it, it's kind of a shame. So, you know, open your eyes and take what you can, and leave what you don't want. But it's always, you know, it's about actually looking at something instead of being scared of something.
So we're both musicians, and both Ash and I and Kevin, we've all, Kevin's not here. Hello, Kevin, if you're listening to us. We've all associated and identified ourselves as musicians for ever since we were children. I mean, I wrote my first song at the age of 11. I was a music fanatic. Ash started young. Kevin started really young. He actually was a professional musician at the age of 15. So we've always identified with being musicians. But we also have other skills as artists. Like, I'm a visual painter. We're each poets. Ash is very creative visually with her artistic talents and whatnot. Like, you'll find this a lot with artists is, there is not just about one particular art, although they may focus on that. It's about being a creative energy. Mm-hmm. It's about having that calling and that desire to create, because if you don't create, you feel that you're not living, mm-hmm. right? The creative, and so when we connect to that creative source, that creative power, like Tori Amos said, mm-hmm. we can't really take credit, although we do. We put our names on songs. But if we were to say, okay, you know what? I don't know where that came from. That was just, that just
like magic.
Flowed
yeah.
through me. That was magic. The lyrics came to me amazingly. The music came to, you know, Ash is just amazing. She'll be sitting sometimes. We'll just be sitting around chatting, and she's got a guitar in her hand, and she just starts playing, and she doesn't even know where it's coming from.
Yeah, it's intense, actually. She's like, wait, what is that?
That's pretty cool.
I don't know. I really don't know where it came from.
All right. Well, we do have a caller, so we'd like to welcome Terry from Texas, line 2. Hello, Terry.
Let's try one more time. It's Carrie.
Oh, hi, Carrie from Texas. How are you doing?
Before it was Gary. Now it's
Terry. No, it was Jerry. Oh, yeah, it was Jerry first, and now it's Terry.
So we're going to call you Jerry, Terry, Carrie.
All right.
Hi.
Well, actually, earlier you were talking about tattoos. I don't know if you guys know, but we took a trip up north, and we went
cool,
to St.
Yeah.
Louis. Now, I grew up in between the Mississippi, the Wabash, and the Ohio. And this is probably my favorite place in the entire world. And while we were in St. Louis, Jackie was getting her tattoo. Now, I meditate 2 hours every day. I pray an hour a day. It takes up a lot of time, but it's worth every minute of it. And what I found in that moment, sorry, I'm getting a little choked up. What I found in that moment was the sound of the tattoo gun. It can't be duplicated. And
that's
it
true.
Put me in the same space as every single minute of my meditation. Knowing the love that Jackie wanted that tattoo and the love that was going into it and the sound of that gun and being in that place surrounded by the water that has protected me my whole life was probably one of the most amazing experiences of my life.
Wow,
Carrie,
that's amazing.
I'll never be able to duplicate it. You know, I've got my own tattoos. I have my grandmother's. I have a dragon for my grandmother on one arm, a dragon for my great-grandmother on the other arm, and Lucky Today and Lucky Tomorrow on my hands. And I felt the same way watching her get that tattoo and the sound of that gun as I did the day I got my own.
Wow.
And that sound cannot be duplicated.
Of course it can.
I don't know. It's something that hit me really hard in that moment.
So here was a mystical kind of trance. You had a metaphysical, mystical experience, and the sound of the gun sounded, it's a tone, which is musical, is it not?
Oh, very much. Very much. and also being around the water that really has protected me, that gave me a safe place in a world that wasn't safe for me. I cannot
Which probably
explain
makes
exactly how
intense.
It felt.
So how then, Carrie, thank you for sharing that. That's how do you feel then in that moment? What is it that you feel that you are connecting to in that moment when it's, you know, so deep that you emotionally respond? I mean, it just, it goes to the depths of you, does it not?
It does, and it's kind of like I'm not one of those people who's like, ooh, I'm all open. I'm working on it, but I don't tell people a lot how I feel. But in that moment, seeing Jackie get a tattoo that meant so much to her, and having her do it in a space where I felt loved and protected, and that specific tone that made me loved and protected because of my own tattoos, there was an overwhelming amount of love. And our godson was there, and I can't even explain to you how much love and light was in that moment. It was truly
it's those
beautiful.
Moments
and I hope that another person, I hope that everyone feels that, if only for one moment in their life. I pray for it.
Well, you know what? Thank you for sharing that, because I identify with that too. I mean, I'm covered in tattoos. I have them on my neck, on my hands, on my arms. And it's very spiritual. It's not like I'm just going to ink up my body because I think it'll look cool. It's very
yeah.
much about a dedication. It's about a love. And I understand about the space, about the time that you know, just, and the connection that both of you felt. It's amazing. And that probably is metaphysical at best and unexplainable in positivity. So thank you, Carrie.
Well, I don't know
thank
if,
you.
If
and you know
you've
what?
Seen the pictures. I don't know if you've seen the pictures of mine, but my dragons go from, you know, the crook of my arm to my wrist, and one of them's fire, one of them's water, and they have the initials of my grandmother and my great-grandmother, and they're everything to me. It's one of the few times I cried during a tattoo.
Carrie, this is Cheryl. One of the things that we said we would do during the show is, Ash and I do a lot of oracle card readings. We do them for each other. We do them for friends, but it's very personal. But we said we would share this with the show, and I've pulled a couple of cards for you while you're speaking. I also got an image of a pyramid. When you were speaking, I got a pyramid, and what that means to me, it's at the base of the pyramid was the experience of the tattoo, the love you have for Jackie, your association and connection with water, and the perfection of that moment, and was the base of your experience that went up into the light. It's when everything went to the pinnacle, to the point of the pyramid, and in that moment it was mystical, it was transcendent, because you in that moment were directly linked to source, to love. And it's wonderful that you share. You want all people to have that experience, if they could have it even for a moment. And, you know, we search for a lifetime for those kind of moments, don't we? And what a gift for you to have it. But it's not so much that you had the gift, it's that you were aware of it. A lot of people have these things happen to them, but they're not fully present. They're not in their now, so they're not even able to really reap the rewards or benefits of it. The two cards that I picked for you were Past Lives and Gaia. Now, interestingly enough, what I would say reading from this is that there's an association you have with Jackie. You've known her before. I also get a real sense of your connection with Gaia, Mother Earth, that you get a lot of solace and you get a lot of strength. And that's where the water comes in. And I would say that you're continuing to connect with Gaia in natural settings and surroundings will be extremely beneficial to you. And I'm also getting you speaking to the earth. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, but it's something I would talk to you off the air about.
Yeah, that's fine. You don't have
number.
To. Yeah,
you don't have to divulge anything. You don't have to talk
about
anything.
A good understanding of where I stand and where I am. So, yeah, I'd be more than happy to talk to you about it, but trust me, it makes a lot of sense.
Cool. That's
awesome.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling in, Carrie. We love when you call in. You're one of our favorites. So please, call back anytime. We love having you.
And next time, Carrie, I think you're going to have to spell your name for Dawn.
Carrie. It's like the movie. You cannot mess it up. It is just like the movie.
We love you. We love you, Carrie. We love Jackie, and we send you our love. We send you all, all of the highest that we have, and we support where you're at.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Jackie's going to call, but if she does, remember, I am so much more fun. That's all you need to remember.
Don't worry there.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later, and, love in the world. And I wish you all the best.
Bye, Carrie.
Thank you, Carrie.
Well, isn't that wonderful? This is the truth of when we have these experiences, they're so emotional, sometimes we can't even speak them aloud because they go right to the very depths of our being. It's powerful. This is powerful stuff.
One of the most powerful things is when you have a life-changing experience, you can't really put it into words. You can put it into a feeling. And it's not even a feeling that your brain can necessarily put into sects. Not sex, but sects. Because, there's so many, me and Charlotte were talking before with a couple friends and saying that, the human language is so narrow. There is not even enough words in the human language to accompany or reflect a language. Just a language, an emotion, a language. Like, there's so many more emotions than there are words. So I'm sure that Carrie probably had a little bit of that when she was, sitting by the water and, the tattoo gun and how that was probably a lullaby in itself. It's pretty cool.
One of the best experiences, I think, for any of us is to go to a country where we don't speak the language. I consider myself a fairly intelligent person, but suddenly I feel like I have no way of relating my own intelligence when I'm in a country that I can't speak the language. I can speak French, so when I'm in France, I do well enough. I mean, I don't do as well as I wish I could, but where I really was at a loss for words was in Italy and in Greece. And here's me going, I'm smart, I really am. But when you're in those situations, you can't rely on language. The language is pretty well the last resort. It becomes about being in tune with who you're speaking to. It's a lot of eye contact. There's some gestures that get in there. There's some pointing. But it's a feeling and a vibration. And I find that in the experiences I've had where I can't speak the language and they can't speak mine, I've had some pretty poignant experiences in that because we're relating on that kind of sixth, seventh sensory way. We're beyond all things. We go into the sense of each other. We're picking up on each other's energy. We're picking up on the intention. We're picking up on, there's also a lot of helpfulness that comes out of people when you're in that situation. For the most part, you see the love and the kindness of people. They truly do want to help. Mm-hmm. It's quite extraordinary. I mean, I go into it because I get caught up in my own ego. I don't want people to think I'm stupid. But I leave it going, that was probably better than if I could speak the language, a better experience. Yeah. So, this is, again, you're talking about, especially English, it's just such a limiting language. It doesn't express a lot of the deeper connections or the deeper emotions. We have one word for love, and the Greeks had five, mm-hmm. right? So, you're going, I love you, and then people are going, in what way, right? And you're going, well, I like Marianne Williamson, right? She says brotherly love should be more romantic, and romantic love should be more brotherly. What is love? Love is all-encompassing. If love is the only real thing, what is the energy of it? What is the energy of it? And where does it reside in music? Where does it reside in mysticism? Where does it reside in the metaphysical world?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, especially, love is such a broad term, yet it is absolutely so singular. Like, I mean, to me, you can say I love you, And you could say it to somebody who you've never met, like Cheryl and I have talked about, you know, just actually loving strangers. That's huge. Kissing a tree. That's huge. It's like you can love without having to love one way. And that's one of the things I think our band, Hologram, who's, by the way, single is on iTunes now, I would like to say, go to iTunes. Please go to iTunes. Please download Spun Sun. It's finally up there, our single. Your support would mean loads to us. We've been working so hard. But, as I was saying, that's a mission of our band, to bring the love and, you know, not have it divided. You know, it's no longer divided.
Which is the next single.
I love how I segued there.
Well, you didn't intentionally segue, but it's true. Joy No Longer Divided is our next single, and what that what the whole song really is, it's about us each equally deserving joy. It's not about the rich should have it and the poor shouldn't, or the beautiful should have it and the not so beautiful shouldn't. It's about all of us having it, and it's not divided. It's not shared. Okay, we have Kevin from
Canada
on, I don't know what line, I can't see.
Line two.
Kevin from Canada, hello.
Hello.
I thought it was you.
Hi, Kevin from Canada.
this is Domino's Pizza, right?
It is. What kind of pizza do you want? One with everything.
That's the Buddhist pizza. See, now Ash got your joke.
I get it now.
For those of you who don't know, Kevin, tell people who you are.
I'm Kevin from Canada, but I'm in Hologram with you too. And so the subject's metaphysics and music.
Yes.
I was listening along. It was great. It's a great show so far.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So, I was thinking of the song Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen, especially when Jeff Buckley does it.
Yes.
Holy smokes.
It's powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, because I think people, you know, if you actually even look up metaphysics and music or spirituality and music, you'll get maybe a lot of maybe Christian music or East Indian music, or I don't think people really equate spirituality and music with modern rock, you know, contemporary stuff. So I guess that's part of our mission statement, right?
It certainly is. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it really can happen. It's a great medium, you know, to sing about loss. You know, love is, you know, man and woman love, the love and lost with a girlfriend and whatever, but we can go bigger and really connect with people's inner struggle, but without stopping writing great songs, because at the end of the day, that's important too. And I think a lot of that, the classical music and stuff, where it's either completely instrumental or maybe it's an opera sang in a language you don't understand, but you still, again, it's what you're saying about different languages. There's moments. I'm not a classical expert. It comes to me, I hear it, and I'm swept away sometimes, just amazing feelings you get from it. And to me, it kind of is another language. But I hope we can do that, and I encourage other artists to branch out, and really grateful for people like Leonard Cohen and stuff that have done it.
Thank you for bringing up Leonard Cohen, because, you know, it is, just because he's not labeled a gospel singer or a gospel, you know, under that sort of title, music can be extremely spiritual and touch the depths of us. And you're right, that Jeff Buckley version, I yeah, you know, pretty much cry. You know, it just touches me so deeply every time I hear him sing it. It's interesting you brought up classical music, because when I was doing research for the show, I noticed my favorite... my favorite philosopher, one of my favorites, Arthur Schopenhauer, German philosopher, he actually wrote a book called Metaphysics of Music in 1888. And he was talking about, there was a part of it, something about Wagner had actually, after reading Schopenhauer's Metaphysics of Music, started to change his way of approaching classical composition.
Hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
He was a doctor also, wasn't he, Schopenhauer, was he? Or?
Well, he was, my favorite quote, for those of you who've checked out our hologram.com site, my favorite quote is Schopenhauer's all truth passes through three stages, right? First, it is ridiculed.
Yes.
Second, it is violent opposed. Third, it's accepted as being self-evident. I think that's quite a metaphysical quote.
Definitely. I wanted to comment, too, on your about the witches and that kind of thing and how people feel about so many different things. I think it really came with the advent of Christianity, and I think it was almost to wipe out the competition. Anything that isn't of this certain philosophy is evil. And, man, a lot of people, a lot of blood has been spilled, and a lot of people have sacrificed everything to keep some of these ancient things alive. And I mean, really, weren't they just about Mother Earth and connecting and things that are sadly lacking and causing a lot of, without them, there's a lot of harm being done to the world. So, I don't know if I should say fight back, but boy, people need to be educated in some way or soften up, because it's just, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot, not letting this wisdom through. To the point of even midwives and things were considered evil, and witches and things that we're using now, and find, like herbs for curing things were part of a witch thing. I mean, it's just crazy. So I agree.
It's crazy in that I think a lot of it, again, it's about fear, but it was about control. And we talked about this in another show about the advent of Christianity. A lot of it was about controlling the masses, right? So when you take away other people, when I was working for the sports nutrition, I worked at one point for a sports nutrition company, and they were having difficulty with the drug companies. There's kind of a battle because the drug companies wanted to control all of the sports nutrition products and the vitamins and whatnot, right? It's really ultimately about control, because if you equate the church is like the drug company and the people who are doing midwifery and healing with natural herbs and healing psychically, doing psychic healings and whatnot, and Reiki and all of that, all the different modalities, then they could be like the sports nutrition company. And so what do? You wipe out the competition, or you absorb it. And this isn't very loving. And I think, again, if we all return to that whole idea of love, we'll see how inappropriate and how unjust a lot of these ideologies and religions are to humanity.
Exactly. I mean, like, truthfully, like, you think of the lacking that you know, witches and herbs and, you know, all that stuff. Even, like, you know, I don't like to use the term, but paganism, because of, you know, the witches, the everything. It's such, in a way, that there is nothing that there's no damage that they are doing. Honestly, like, that's a pretty broad statement for me to say, but all of this, I mean, unless you're involved in darkness in any way, but that goes for any religion, but when you're in the highest place of anything that you're doing, you're not going to be causing that much, you're not going to be causing any harm. Like, I mean, there's no intent to cause harm. And what is, like, a spell, just saying, but a prayer? It's the same thing. You're using herbs, you're using elements, you're using everything from the earth to create good change, to create a change in something, to bring about goodness. And that's what a prayer is, except you're not directing it to one God. You're directing it universally. And I think that we need a lot more help for the universe than we need help for just one person from one God. So I'm definitely not at all adverse to the whole witch thing. I think it's pretty great.
Me too. I'm in.
We love you, Kevin.
thank you for calling. Is there anything else you wanted to share?
Well, I wouldn't want to cause any offense. I've known people that express their spirituality in a Christian template, I guess I would say, that are extraordinary people. And it definitely works like anything if you do it with love and you trust your inner voice. Don't stop thinking, you know, don't let someone else tell you what to do. Christianity is can be a fine way to express yourself that way. But and also I'm just like to say I'm really grateful to live in a place where I don't have to fear for my life when I want to learn about these things or try these things. I'm really grateful for the freedom. So, and I'm really grateful for the people that died, you know, to keep this wisdom alive. So, yeah, that's all I have to say, I think.
You rule.
We love you so much. Thank you for that.
There will be some Chinese food coming home for you.
Yay. Okay, I'll let you get on with your show then. Thank you for letting me talk.
Thank you, Kevin Stewart Swain, for talking, not letting you. I mean, you are one-third of this band, and we value you and your input, so thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
We now have
bye.
Janice on line
bye.
One.
Okay, now we have Janice from line one. Janice, are you there?
Yes, are you there?
We're here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Hi, I just wanted to make a comment that it just seems that, I don't know, since in the past 100 years anyway, that there's labels put on things. Like, I remember my grandmother, my whole family, like they'd sit around the table, they'd read cards, my grandmother did something called crying, like with I think
scrying.
That's what it was called, but with wax and stuff. And for us, it was a normal way of life. It wasn't called anything, and we were Christians, and my grandfather was an elder in the Christian church. But this is years ago, and these people lived on the farm in Saskatchewan, and they did all these things, and they did heal with herbs and with prayers and with laying on hands, and it was a normal way of life, and there was no finger pointing saying you're evil or you're this or you're that, because everybody was the same. Like, it was, nobody was judged for what they believed, and this was just a normal way of life. And I remember going through all this at home. I was raised by my grandparents, and seeing these things, and my grandmother's sister used to come from Alberta, and she used to, you know, put out the cards and read cards for everybody, and that was normal. And I remember I went to school, and I had cards, and it was in grade 9, and I told somebody's fortune, and this was like, you know, on a day where it was raining outside, and it was a lunch hour with nothing to do. People were bored. So I read this girl's fortune for her, and it turned out to be true. And I don't know why. Like, I was never told how to do it, but it was like an intuition on what you see in the cards. And she had a death in her family that weekend. Her grandmother passed away. And what else happened? Oh, she mentioned that I mentioned that there was going to be a letter from a lawyer, and that people were going to be fighting over money. I mean, this is what I saw in the cards. And before this happened and it came true, I could read cards for my friends, and everybody thought it was cool. But after that, after it was made public and it was known, I was pointed at by people in the school calling me a witch. So I don't know how to, you know, this is just a comment that I'm making, that I think that it used to be a part of life for me and for people out on the farms and my grandparents and my great-grandparents. And they, like I said, they were still Christians, but they took everything and used it to live. And that meant, like the, you know, the pouring of the wax over somebody's head, and just everything. Like, they even believed if somebody looked at you intensely, that they could cause you harm. Like, these are things that they would see. Or they'd have little things, like if somebody came into your home and you had something sitting on the table and they were looking at it, and they were hungry, and you didn't offer something to them, that you would have bad fortune. Like, these are things that they believed in. And now, if we did something like that, we'd be labeled. So that's my comment.
So your comment, are you there?
Sorry.
Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, so what I'm hearing, Janice, is your comment is that you stepped out into that 6th, 7th century world, and you shared it openly and willingly, and then it bit you in the butt pretty much by you being ostracized. Was that your experience, is what you're saying?
Yes, it was.
So where are you at with all of this now in terms of your gift, of your abilities? Are you able to just stay in the love and the acceptance of your own gifts and ability and just trust it and step out of even, not even worrying about what other people think about you, just sharing it in love?
Well, yes, I do. Amongst people that I trust, amongst people that I don't know and don't trust, it's hard to step out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally know what you mean, and I want to tell you, Janice, while you were talking, I was pulling cards for you, and I'll tell you what I got. First card was love, second card was resurrection, third card was mythic reality. Mm-hmm. What that says to me is that if you stay in the love and you trust the love that you have for others, the love that others have for you, the love that your source has for you, you can actually resurrect this gift, and you will be exposed to the mythic reality that is your life, that is all of our lives, but most of us are sleeping and not really aware of it. And I think that you're quite a powerhouse, Janice.
Well, thank you so much.
Do you feel
thank
it?
Thank you. I just wanted... Pardon me?
I said, can you feel that? Do you feel that sense of
yes,
your power?
I can.
Cool.
Oh, yes. Yes. And you know what? I live it all the time. Like, to me, it's something that's a part of me. Like, I don't know. I can pick things up off people without them even opening their mouth. But, you don't say anything to people because you just wait and see. And that's what I do, and I'm always right. So that is a gift.
Yes, you are very abilityed. You know, you're and getting more and more in touch with it as being an okay ability, right? That you're not going to get hurt because you have this ability, that you can trust it.
Yes. That's exactly it.
Thank you for sharing that, because I'm sure a lot of people listening can relate to stepping into this and sharing it, because it's all innocent and it is from love and you just want to express it. It's just like speaking.
It
it's
is.
Like a form of conversation, and you're bringing out this different way of conversing, of connecting, and to be labeled a witch is it's not such a bad thing. Maybe think about it that way.
Exactly.
But you know what? When you're in grade 9 and you're 15 years old, it's traumatic when you have, your peers, like, whispering behind your back and pointing. And, like, it's traumatic when you're that age. And you don't know, because when I went into it, it was pure innocence. And it was done in love. But
yes.
I didn't know that when you see something like that, you have to kind of be careful what you say and how you say it.
Like, well, I was just going to say, like, you got to bring it back to the innocence, and that's what I think we're trying to do. It's just bring everything back to not being so two-sided and making everything one-sided.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's my opinion.
Well, thank you, Janice, and I didn't want to say that's not painful what you went through, because you're at a very vulnerable time when you're at that age, right? And it's just about letting go of the pain and stepping into the love again and recognizing that was then and this is now and trusting it, right?
Oh, exactly. And I do, but it's like something, when you're that age and you're so impressionable and you get hurt, whether it's by that or by anything else, when you're that age, it sticks with you. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
I know what you mean, because I've had a lot of traumas when I was young, too. I also know that it's also a decision to start letting go of it and sort of re-inventing it. putting it into a different picture frame, taking that picture and putting it in a new frame and having acceptance around it, and not allowing it to have power over you, not allowing it to hold any kind of power over you. Just take it as an experience, and you can just walk out of it a stronger person, because that ultimately is what it does. It just makes you more more sensitive to who you are, just a kind of going, I know who I am, I'm powerful, and they didn't like it.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. And you know what? I found out recently, too, like when I have a feeling and it's like I know, it's just something you're so sure of. It's like taking your next breath. That's how sure you are. But I had a client that came to me, and she was coming to me for years, and she got married, you know, 5 years prior, and all her friends were having babies, and every time she'd come to see me, and I'd say, so, anything? And she'd, no, not yet, not yet. And then one day she came to me, and she was, and I said, so? And she says, and she started to cry, and she says, I just can't have a baby. And she was crying, like she was really upset. And I couldn't feel her sadness, because I said to her, I said, you're crying unnecessary tears. I said, it's going to happen by the next time you come back here. And for me to actually say something like that, I said, by the time you come back next time, I says, you'll be telling me something different. But I was so sure of it. And I said that to her without feeling like, here's somebody's crying to me, and if I'm wrong, you know, how terrible she'd feel. But
and
to
then
me,
she was
it
pregnant.
Felt, yeah, and then when she came back, she said, I kept saying, unnecessary tears, don't cry anymore, unnecessary tears.
Well,
and
you know,
I kept saying that to her.
Yeah, it's Janice,
and
you know
she came back, she was pregnant.
Well, that's good. You know, the thing is we have to, we've got two other callers and our show's almost over, but I want to say, I just want to say this, is that when you have this kind of a gift and you use it to inspire and bring hope, then it truly is divine. It comes from light and love.
Yes,
so thank you for that. And that's where you were
thank
coming
you
from.
So much.
Okay, bye.
We love you.
Okay, we have Erin on line two. Erin, hello.
Hello.
Hi, Erin.
I don't really know what in particular I have to say.
But you're saying.
Okay. no, I don't know. I, metaphysics, I don't really know that word. But I did have a kind of interesting thing about a month ago. I was just lying in bed about to fall asleep. And then I just kind of like felt my body, and it was like, I don't know, I just like came to this realization that everything that I could currently feel within my body is like an endlessness. Like my body is just part of absolutely everything around, and it's just like this continuation. Like, I mean, I can touch myself and feel it, but really I can feel my feet on the floor. But aside from that, it's just like part of everything. And I constantly think, I mean, subtract everything. We're part of it. But then at the same time, everything that is around us, everything that we've made, there's been energy put into, and we're just part of absolutely everything. And we're all just one. And yeah, I don't know.
We're part of the matrix. I wanted to say, you said you don't know much about the word metaphysics, but you just described it very well.
Perfectly.
Metaphysics is hard to understand. It's hard to understand. There's sort of a hidden meaning to it, and that's exactly what you're just describing. Is you said, I don't know, but I feel it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't.
The whole thing with words as well. Like, yeah, I mean, words can describe something, but to have that feeling. Another interesting little theory I want to throw out that I've just been reading about lately is like quantum mechanics, which is the idea that any single object has and people or whatever, everything has not one single history, as we're all kind of trained to believe, but infinite amounts of history. So, I mean, for a human being, it's like any moment that you take where you could, you know, you make some decision, you can go in one direction. It's like, it's almost as if there's this like simultaneous either history or infinite amount of histories living through at this exact same time, which, I don't know, I just, that kind of blows my mind. And to think about it like that is like, I mean, to get stressed out in life, anything like that, it's like, fuck, like this is the path that we're on as these kind of conscious versions of ourselves or whatever. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, you're making complete sense, and thank you for sharing that, because I'm sure that's going to really resonate with a lot of people. I think it's amazing.
Well, it does with us.
And it does, and you know, Cheryl just pulled two cards while you were talking, and they like jumped out of the deck.
I wanted to first say that Joseph Campbell talked about, he talked about that, what you were just speaking of, is the mythology, how we're all just, it's the power of the now, right? Eckhart Tolle talks about it too. The now is all we have, and that Joseph Campbell said that in the now is eternal. The now is eternity. So you're speaking about the histories. We talk about the different, it's so multi-layered, Aaron, the different dimensions, all of the historical, you know, you stand on a piece of land. Many others have stood on that piece of land in different times. And so there's a lot of things going on, and most of us aren't even really aware. I want to share the two cards that jumped out of the deck, literally jumped out of the deck for you, was family and acceptance. So what I would read from this is there's something that's going on in a family area of you, someone who's close, or something that's going on, and that there needs to be acceptance. There's something that you're needing to process at this time to come into acceptance with. And I'm not going to ask you if that's true or not, because I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm just reading the cards. And there you go, my dear. Thank you for calling. We have to say goodbye and welcome
and
Jackie.
We love you.
We love you. Jackie, we have a couple minutes left. Jackie from Houston, line 3.
Hey guys, so let's bring it back to music then, I guess, for the last couple minutes.
That'd be perfect.
And, yes, I know. So I just find that, with a few exceptions, I find it a lot easier to, like, really find music that sort of transcends, like, thought and, like, getting into more, like, you know, spirit and metaphysics and things by focusing on music that's instrumental. And it's almost like by getting away from the words, it makes it easier to allow your mind as well to transcend words and go into places of feeling and that sort of thing. You know what I mean? So that's just kind of my quick thought.
Well, thank you. Thank you for bringing it back to music and to the metaphysics mm-hmm. of music and the unknown, the feeling, where it takes us. We don't quite even understand it, but we know that it takes us someplace.
Exactly.
And sometimes we can't even define where it takes us. We can define an emotion that we feel around it, but we can't always define where we go.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So, and for me, I can't even define the emotion or anything else. I'm really horrible with words. So for me, especially not having, I guess, other people's words to distract me, the exception of some truly magnificent lyrics, you know, which do occur, and you guys are certainly people that provide some of those lyrics out of the void, but... You know, it's most of the time I find that, you know, words and everything distracts, which is maybe why some people find trance music and things like that, you know, beneficial for them to get into a more meditative state. Not for me, but, you know, just real instrumental music seems to, it you know, I think it calls to a very ancient part of ourselves when music was, you know, a way of, the entire way of life, really, within a group of people. So it's definitely
well,
powerful,
yes.
And we don't ever want to forget that.
And guess what we did just now? We picked a card for you. And
I got
the lightning card earlier today before we even did the show. And it came up again. And I think it was meant for you because it's about power. And it says power right on it. And there's definitely a power that you're learning to harness. You're learning to not just harness it, but you're learning to really go beyond the barriers of it. Because you know you have that inside yourself. So I think this card is just a reminder. I meant to tell you that really stay in your power and don't worry. Stay in your power and don't worry.
And I also, Jackie, I got a card for you too. I got revelation. There's something that's happening in your life right now that's big. There's something that's that you're actually, you know, I'm getting that you're stepping into something new. It's a new understanding of. Whether it's metaphysical, there's something that's happening for you now. So I think it connects with the lightning card quite well, the power and the revelation. So, my dear, think about that this week. We love you much, and thanks again for even inquiring about our lyrics and for your support of Hologram. You've been fabulous, and we do really, really appreciate you. Thank you.
And now it is 8
Thanks, Jackie. Bye.
It is 8 o'clock, and we must say thank you for listening to us, and we're sorry that we had to cut some of you short, but we love you intensely, and we want to remind you, please, please, please check us out on YouTube. Our name on there is Hologram Music, as well as same on Twitter, and it's the same on MySpace. Also, go to iTunes, search us on iTunes, and buy Spun Sun. Really get in the vibe of what we're doing.
All right, so we invite you also not only to listen to our music, but also step into your own mysticism. Step into your own truth, your own power. You are all-knowing. Just believe it. We love you. That's Hologram out.
Bye.